Praise God. Well, bless you, kids. Have a great time this morning. Bless you, big kids, too. Keep having a great time. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we started talking about the whole area of worship and worshiping together. You'll notice that our name as a church is Grow Church. And the letters of the word grow actually stand for something. G is for growing people, that we might be everything that God made us to be. R is for releasing ministry, that all the potential God has placed within each one, that we'll be effective in that. About outreaching globally, that people might know the love of Jesus Christ. And about worshiping together. And I want to continue talking about worshiping together this morning. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, you might want to turn to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 2. There'll be scripture that comes up before that, which we'll just have a look at in Ephesians 2. But while you're turning to 1 Peter 2, we'll have a look at Ephesians 2. It'll come up on the screen. And let's just read that together. It says, in him the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It talks about us being built together to being a dwelling, a place where God lives. And as we said last week, we know that God is not a God that is interested all that much in buildings. Buildings are nice and they're good, but there's never a building that God would dwell in. Even Solomon, when he dedicated his temple, said, God, you're the God of the universe, as if I can make a temple that can contain you. And we know that God dwells within the hearts of men. And there's something about that when we come together and worship God together, we're actually building something. We're building a temple, a dwelling place, something where God is tangible in his presence, where we can honor him and worship him. And so that's what I want to continue talking about this morning. But let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verses 4 to 12. It talks a lot about stones here, and I want to talk a bit about stones this morning. And talk about what it is to become a living stone and then how God wants us to connect together as these living stones. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and reading down from verse 4. It'll come up on the screen. You can follow it or follow it in your Bible this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and reading from verse 4. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men. And Lewis mentioned that over communion, how people rejected Christ. Rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who don't believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which also they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. I want to talk about this morning. It talks about us building something together. We're talking about worshiping together. And there's something about us being together, coming together to worship God in a powerful way. But before I get too far onto that, I want to talk about what it is when we're not actually a part of that, when we're actually on the outside of that looking in. I want to talk about being a lone stone. And see, some people can be like that, is that they live their life as an island. And by an island, I mean not that they don't have relationships or know other people, but they live a life that is separated from God. And there are many people that live their lives like that. They know God. They believe that there's a God somewhere, yet there's a God. There has to be. How can you, just the wonder of creation, even the wonder of a precious little life that we hold in our arms. That doesn't just happen by chance. There's a designer, something behind that, someone behind that. And most people would have an understanding. There's got to be a God out there somewhere. But he's not a God that is far away, that he's a God that is actually close to us. A God that is someone that wants to have intimate relationship with us. But there are those that it talks about that stumble over Christ. It talks about him being the living stone. He is the foundation stone. He is the cornerstone. And by the cornerstone, it means it's the stone that everything else gets its definition. Everything else is lined up with that. Everything in life is built around the cornerstone. And in building, the cornerstone is down, and all the lines, everything else is laid upon that foundation or that cornerstone, important part of the whole foundation. And the many people, though, who don't have that foundation in life, and we all go through many things in life. Every one of us goes through struggles. All of us face many things. The difference is that some people go that alone, and it's hard when you go it alone, but it's different when you have God in your life. He's the foundation of your life, and everything is built upon him, upon the living rock in our lives. And so he is the foundation of our lives. And for those that, it says, for those that know him, he's precious. He's precious to us, and we're worshipping and loving him because we know him and he's precious. But it says for those that don't know, well, they can fall over, they stumble over him. So who is this Jesus? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, when we stand before our Maker, before God, we'll be asked about, well, what about Jesus? What did you do with Jesus in your life? How did you live your life? Did you stumble at him and not commit to him? Or did you actually come and receive Jesus into our life? There's amazing things in this passage about what Jesus does when we come and take Jesus into our life. It says here that he takes us out of darkness and he brings us into light. It says, he who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. And so something changes when you actually become a Christian, when you give your life to Jesus. It's as if the light comes on. And we think we know many things in the world with technology. And I heard the other day with the rate at which technology is advancing, and that they reckon that there's not far from it. You know, you've got the curve going up and up and up, getting steeper exponentially. They're saying it's not really far now off that axis, that the human knowledge is going up and up and up at the rate of advancement in human knowledge and human technology. And the world, we're very clever, we know a lot. But it's when you come to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, it's if the light comes on. All the things that we thought we knew, it's if a whole perspective in life, we come out of darkness into light. And many people are just walking around in darkness and saying, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this life, and they're just living, they're getting up, going to work and coming home and doing this stuff. There's got to be far more than life. There's got to be far more than life. It talks about the Bible about people groping around in darkness trying to find. But when we come to Jesus, we come out of darkness, we come into light, and suddenly everything makes sense. Everything in life suddenly makes sense. When there was not a lot of sense, when this mad, crazy world, all of a sudden, you come out of darkness into light, everything all of a sudden makes sense. And as we come into the Lord also, he gives us identity and purpose. We begin to belong. There's that longing in every heart to belong, to be connected with other people, because he hasn't made us to be ones that are going to be out on our own. He made us to have fellowship with other people. We put up Hebrews 2:10. Can you stick that up there on the screen? Hebrews 10. It says, God is the one who made all things. So he is the creator, that ultimately we stand before our creator, every one of us without exception. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children to share his glory. He wanted every one of us. He made us, he created us for the sole purpose that we would have relationship with him. That's why we're alive. That's why we have breath. That's why we live upon this earth, that we might come into relationship with him. God is the one who made all things, and he wanted to have many children. He wanted us to relate to him as our Father in heaven, and to share in his glory. That is the heart of God, that we would come. And so there's a purpose in this life, that we might know him as our Father, and to belong to him, and to belong to one another, to be a part of a family, a heavenly family. It says here also, it says, but once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We had communion, and it wasn't a tea break. It wasn't a cookie and a bit of juice, something. It was celebrating. It was reminding us that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that his body was broken, the beatings, the lashes, what he went through, the blood that he shed, that he did all of that on the cross for us to take the punishment that we all know that we deserve. If we're honest, every one of us knows that we've done things that God would not be happy with. Every one of us. But because of Jesus Christ, when we come to Jesus Christ, Jesus stands in the gap and he takes the punishment that we deserve upon himself. That's the wonder of salvation. It's the wonder of the cross. And so we receive mercy. We receive mercy upon our hearts and our lives, and every one of us needs that mercy. That's a promise. When we come to Him, the living stone, it says, once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. And there's another wonderful promise in there in verse 6. It says, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. What a wonderful thing it is to stand before the living God, the creator of all heaven and earth, and as you come before Him, not to have your head, down in shame, but to have to look Him up in the eye and just to love Him. And know that you can confidently do that because, not because of us, if it related on us, we'd all be in trouble, but because of Jesus Christ, because of Him in our life, we can be confident before God. We don't have to have shame in our life. And some people have done some stuff in their lives. Some people have done some things that they would never want to tell anyone. They're just too ashamed of that. There's some things that they've done in their life that they're just ashamed of. But see, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to Him and you say, Lord, I need You in my life. I need You in my life. I need that mercy. I need You to touch my life. Not only did He come and make us a son and a daughter of God, but He wipes away the shame of our lives. And so the shame of whatever we've done gets wiped away. It says, those who trust in Him will never be put to shame. And what a wonderful thing it is to live without shame. What a wonderful thing it is to be free, and we have freedom when we come to Jesus Christ. So I encourage you today that if you're walking as a lone stone, don't be a lone stone. Come to the living stone. Come to Jesus Christ and allow Him to touch your heart. Let's have a look at Ezekiel 36. It'll come up on the screen there. And let's read that together, because it tells us something that actually happens that when we come to God, when we give our life to the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 and 27. And this is a promise that the Lord says. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my ways, decrees, and be careful to keep my laws. And so the Lord actually changes a heart of stone that is dead to God, that is cut off from God, and it gives us a living, vibrant heart. We actually become a living stone when we come unto Christ. There's a new heart that is within us. And He puts the spirit in. See, a lot of people think Christianity is a whole lot of laws and rules that, well, who can live up to that? And they give up, they don't even try. But it's not about that. It's about His Spirit, about Him coming and living within our hearts and giving us a capacity to live a life that pleases Him. Because we can't do that without Him. But if we have His Spirit in our lives, if we give our heart to Him, He dwells in our heart, we have a capacity to live a life that pleases Him. Not about trying to do a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of rules that you know you just can't do. Not about that. It's about having a new heart. It's about being changed on the inside and Him giving us the ability to live a life that is different because of Him living within us. He gives us His Spirit. He changes us. So we become that living stone. It's so important that every one of us are here today. We allow that to change. Say, Lord, I don't want to have a stony heart towards You, God. But Lord, I want You to come into my life. Lord, I want You to give me a new heart. Put Your Spirit within me. So that's the very first step on the journey, if you like. And we talked about a journey that happened in worship last week. Talk a little bit about a journey in our walk today, a journey in life. The very first thing is that we become a Christian. We give our life to Jesus Christ. We have a new heart. We have a new hope. And we have the promise of eternal life, that we don't fear death, that we know that when we die 100% without any shadow of a doubt, what our eternal destiny is. When we've given our life to Christ, when we honor Him within our lives, we don't have any question about that. We don't fear death at all. And so that's the very first step. And that's the first part then, is that we become ourselves a living stone. Christ, the Bible calls, describes Him as the rock, and as we become related to the Father because of Him, and we become a living stone, the Scripture says. It says, you also like living stones, and so we become like a living stone. Now, there's something about being a living stone, because you can have a little stone there on its own. Really doesn't have a lot of purpose. But we can do something with that stone. And that stone can be brought in and brought to other people. We've been talking about worshiping together. And I want to talk about now us coming together, bringing our living stone. We've come alive because Jesus Christ, and we begin to come together. But what happens is that some people, when they come to a church, is they just rock up to church. They just all pile in, pile out, rock in, off they go. And they've come along to church and maybe they've done their bit, they've done their thing. But the Bible doesn't want us to be that, because when people just come in such a way, they just come to church, do their stuff, and then off they go. Well, the Bible describes that to us. That's really, it's just like we're just a pile of stones together. And there's this passage in Genesis 13. We'll just bring this up on the screen, Genesis 13. This is a story of Abraham. Abraham went to a place. Now, remember, we're talking about a journey. First part is here where there's something changes in my heart. That I don't want to have a hard, stony heart towards God. But as I accept Christ, I get a heart that is soft with Him. I have a new spirit, a new life, and His life, His Spirit's dwelling within me. And I begin this journey. And some people begin that journey, but they'll stay out there. They won't actually get in and fellowship, join a church, or be a part of a church. But then there's another step along the way. And this talked about Abraham. He talked about two places. Let's just read this together first of all. It says, from the Negev, and this is Abraham, he went from the place until he came to Bethel. Now, Bethel means house of God. Bethel is the house of God, to where the place between Bethel and Ai. Ai means just a pile of stones, a pile of rocks. And so he goes from this place where his tent had been earlier, and when he'd first built an altar, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And so there's a number of places. You can be a rock out here on your own. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's really as you are. In terms of the things of God, you're out there. And you fall over the things of Christ. I don't understand them. It confuses me. But if you allow Christ into your life, the light comes on and you begin a journey. Earlier on, the couple of verses earlier, this journey that Abraham takes, it actually starts in Egypt. Egypt is symbolic in Scripture of bondage, of wilderness, of a life that is without purpose, without a future, where you feel trapped in your life. And you need to come out of that. When you come to Christ, you come out of that bondage, you come into a new life, and then you're on a journey. But then as a believer, as a Christian, as we come together, even as believers, we can come in one of two ways. We can come as either Bethel, or as we can come as Ai. We can come in such a way. Some people come to church in an Ai way, which is just a pile of rocks. They pile in, as I said, and they're just there. They come and they worship, they praise God, they still love the Lord, not a question about that. But the difference is that they don't actually ever connect in. They just come in and they come out, and there's no real connection within the body. And I just want to show you in a moment why it's so important that you are connected in the life of the church, because God is connecting us. We've already read from the Scripture that He's building us to be a spiritual house for one reason, and that reason is that we might bring spiritual sacrifices, which we'll talk about in a moment. But if you just aren't connected to people, I bring my stone along each side. I'm a new stone, I'm a living stone, and I come along, but I never connect to other people. Then I'm just someone that is in Ai, where it's just like a pile of rocks. And some people will be like that. They just come and they never actually join their hearts with other people. Aren't close to other people, don't really care about other people, don't build relationship with them, don't knit their heart with other people. And God doesn't want us to be ones that are at Ai, like a pile of rocks, even as a church, that we just come in, pile in, out we go. I'm here, but God wants us to connect in. There's something that He wants in our heart. My question I want to ask every one of us today is, who are you connected to? Who are you connected to? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing, you've got to get connected to God. That's the starting point. That's the first thing, is to get connected to Him. Don't just believe He's out there somewhere, but know Him intimately and personally. Let Him love you and touch your life. Let Him change your life. Let Him fill you with His grace. But we can go along the journey, and I bring my stone and I just come in with others and I just plonk it down with a pile of rocks, and then I go home again. And I just take my rock, or else I can keep going a little bit further on the journey to Bethel. And Bethel means house of God, where I'm actually connecting in to other people. I'm connecting my heart. I'm joining my heart with other people. And that's where the power is. Because some people, if you've ever gone along to church and you feel, well, gee whiz, everyone else is really into it and I'm not really into it. I really didn't get a lot out of worship or being there today. Well, one of two reasons. One is that maybe really you're back here. You've never really given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's hard to enter in when you're a lone stone. You're out here on your own. But maybe if you've just come along and you just plonk your rock in and here I am, I'm here for the day, and then I take my rock. But you find it harder to enter into worship. You find it harder to know God touching your heart unless you're actually going to knit yourself in And together we build that spiritual house together. It's one of those two reasons, if you find that you struggle, is that really at the end of the day, maybe my heart, I've never really given my heart to Christ. Or secondly, I just come and I block my rock, but I'm not connected with other people. You'll find it very hard to enter into the things of God. Who are you connected to in your life? Who do you have relationship with, even in the church? So you can come along and join in, or you can actually be joined in. And there's a big difference. It's a big difference. You can come along and join in. I can go along just to anything and go along and for the night just join in, because I was there, I just joined in. But there's a difference about being joined in, about having hearts that are knitted together. And that is the thing that makes worship so powerful in our everyday life. Worship's every day of our life. It's everything that we do to live our life that pleases God. But together, when we come together, you'll find that dynamic if you are connected in. Otherwise, you've just bought your rock and you find, well, gee whiz, I still didn't really get, you know, I couldn't really enter in. But connect in, it's so very important to be connected in. I just want to read the front of the newsletter today that Pastor Pat has read. I'll just read it to you. If you've got it, you can follow it. But it says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. God intends us to experience life together. The Bible calls this fellowship. The word fellowship has lost most of its biblical meaning. Today usually refers to casual conversation, socializing, food and fun. Where do you fellowship means, where do you attend church? Stay after for fellowship usually means wait for refreshments. Biblical fellowship is experiencing life together. It includes unselfish loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sacrificial giving, sympathetic comforting, and all the other one other commands found in the New Testament. True fellowship means smaller is better. You can worship with a crowd, but it's hard to fellowship in a crowd. The body of Christ, like your own body, is really a collection of small cells. For this reason, every one of us needs to be involved in a home group. This is where real fellowship takes place. If you're not going to home group, why not join one this week? Just ask. We'd love to have you. And that's why we encourage people to get connected in. Because if you just come on Sunday and you don't have those other connections during the week, you're not involved in other people's lives, you're not involved in home group, you'll come along and you plonk your stone down on a Sunday. But you'll never experience the depth of what God has, because he wants us to build something together, a place of worship. We're not a building, but hearts that are fully connected to one another and surrendered unto the living God. So who are we connected to? Can you just bring up the next slide there, Joshua? Just bring that up. Just skip that. That's just where Bethel is. Just look at this for the moment. Just have a look at that wall. Now, that's stones that have actually been joined together, not just a pile of stones. And I just want to encourage you, if Christ has joined you to him first of all, and then you say, well, I'm not on my own anymore, I'm actually a part of a family, I'm part of a body of believers, and God wants me to be built in, he wants me to be connected closely with people. Have a look at these stones there. You'll see some of those stones, that big whopping one there, almost in the middle there. Well, if you count how many stones around it, just have a quick count. How many is that touching? Anybody tell me, how many stones is that one touching? You know the one I mean? I just use the laser, guys, and just that one there, yep. How many is it? 10. How many say 10? Yeah, you're right. It's actually, I counted 10. Anyone counted more than 10? It's touching 10. But you have a look at one of the smaller ones. Guys, just pick one of the smaller ones, Jeremy. Okay, well, the screen's a bit shaky because of the aircon. How many is that one touching? That's touching 5. But there's none of them that are touching none. So some people are going to be connected more with others, maybe because they've got more time, they've got more availability or whatever else. But God wants us to be connected with other people because he's building something. You've got to see that being a part of a church, it's not just everyone comes and we rock in, pop my rock in and off I go. The life of a church is a connected life. We're connected to God and connected with one another. That's why it's worship together. Not just worship, it's worship together. There's a power and there's a dynamic that you will only find in being connected with other people. Other people that are connected to God and love God. And there's something that happens. There's something together when we come as living stones. It says, "You also, like living stones," verse 5 that we read, "are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." God is building us something together, that worship that some people, I just want to know God close to me. I want him to touch me. I see other people seem to be getting touched by God. And we'll then just say, there's something maybe you need to address. First of all is, am I out here on my own? Have I really connected myself to the Lord? Have I really become a part of him? Or have I really connected my heart to my brothers and sisters? And that's a challenge, because there are some I know that really, that they're never really connected in. How many people are you touching outside your own immediate family or extended family? How many people are you connected to? How many? Otherwise, you just put your rock in and then you'll go home. But if you connect in, if we build something together, it says that we build this wonderful thing in worship. People that are in unity have joined our hearts together. And the scripture talks about says you're being built together. It's perfectly joined together, a perfect join, a perfect fit. And you find that when you come to God and then you come into a church family, you suddenly find, I fit, this is my place. God will fit us, a perfect fit. But the challenge for every one of us is to build those relationships, to be connected in. Don't just rock up and bring your rock on a Sunday, but just come in and say, no, I'm connected, and develop those relationships. That's why we have home groups. That's why we do that. That's why we encourage people. Church is not just something that happens on a Sunday. It happens all through the week with hearts that are connected to one another. And it says that we're building a spiritual house. It talks about spiritual sacrifice. Well, what's a spiritual sacrifice? In the Old Testament, they got the blood of bulls and goats and the atonement that was paid. They paid for the sin of what they'd done by the blood that was shed of a bull or a goat. But we're not into that now, because Jesus Christ, his blood was shed for us, for our sacrifice. So we don't have to run around chopping up cows and bulls and doing that. Jesus died and he took all the punishment. So we don't need to do that kind of a sacrifice. So it talks about spiritual sacrifices. What are the sacrifices that God wants us to make? What is the spiritual sacrifice that we make as we come together as a spiritual house, all connected, built in? Well, the spiritual sacrifice we bring is worship. It's our worship. And as I said, every part of our life that honors God is worship. But our corporate worship is the spiritual sacrifice that we bring together. Let's just look at the scripture, bring it up, Hebrews 13:15. It says, therefore, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And so there's a power that is unleashed as we come together. We spoke about it last week, and I don't say everything that I said last week. But if you find that you still struggle really touching that deep sense of the presence of God, him meeting your needs, you're going through struggle, for heartache, having him touch you in the very core part of your being. Well, maybe, are you connected to God, or are you really connected to brothers and sisters? Because it's in the together, it's in the worship together. When we build something in the spirit, a spiritual house, that is where the presence of God is. It says that is where his dwelling is. That is where his presence is. And that's where the heart is touched. And that is where we can bring our heart of worship to him. That's the spiritual sacrifice God wants of you. But you will struggle with that. And if you struggle with that, maybe it's because you're not really connected in either to God, first of all, or to connected with one another. And I encourage you to look at the connections in the life. Who are you connected to? Who are the other brothers and sisters that you're walking with? Because when you come together, you're not just coming as a lone stone or a pile of rocks, but we're saying, Lord, we are here together as the sons and daughters, Lord. You're our Father, and we worship you, Lord. And as we pour our heart out, as we worship you with all our heart, that is where the presence of God is. That is where his dwelling is. And so that's the encouragement for us, that we would be built in together for worship. So if you struggle, and I know there are some people that struggle, and I ask you is, well, what are the connections that you have with God, but also with one another? Because as I said last week, that you never should come ever to a church service and walk out the door exactly the same way that you came in. As I said last week, it doesn't depend on the music, doesn't depend on the word, it depends on each and every one of us. It depends upon our own heart, the way that we leave. Are we going to leave a different person than we came in? That challenge is upon every one of us. So God builds us together to worship, but also to witness. It talks about that we come together, he's building us together, that we might declare his praises. And if we have us fully connected together as that living temple, you'll find that your ability to witness is so much stronger. as we are joined with other people, because God joins us together that we might worship him, but also that we might witness, that we might declare his wonder. Because there's a lot of people who live their whole lives without knowing the whole secret of life. What a tragedy it is. What a tragedy for people to come to the end of their life and to live the whole life and never really knowing what life was about. That's heartbreaking. What a tragedy. And God has called us as he builds us together to let people know that there is a better way and that there is a hope and there is a life, there is a future. And this life really is but, as the Bible describes it, a drop in a bucket. That's where that phrase comes from. A drop in a bucket. Where does that come from? It's from the Bible. Life is but a drop in the bucket. And the purpose of this life is that people might come into relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're living for. And so God has called us to come together that we might also witness. John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so even the world will look and say, these people are connected in. They don't just rock up. They're not just a pile of stones. There's something about these people. They actually really do love one another. There really is that care. There really is that heart of compassion with one another. There is actually a joining of hearts together. God has actually brought them together. And I see, yeah, there's a heart of worship, but the love they have for one another, what a wonderful testimony it is. So I just want to read this passage again from 2 Peter chapter 4. It says, as you come to him, the first thing we've got to do is to come to him. Don't be a stone on your own. Don't have a heart that maybe knows that God's out there somewhere, but you can't really touch him. Allow him to take away that heart of stone and become a living stone. Put his life within us. Put a new spirit, his Holy Spirit within our lives, that we can live our life. We come out of darkness and we suddenly come into light. The light goes on. There is a lot more to life than I ever realized. And I have an eternal future because of what Jesus Christ did. So we become a living stone. But then we move on and we're not just a bunch of stones, people. But God hasn't called us to be just a pile of stones, but he doesn't want us to settle as AI, just a pile of stones, but he wants every one of us to be connected in. And I encourage you, look at the relationships that you have even in the church. Who are you connected to? Get connected with your brothers and sisters. Home group, we mentioned, such an important way of doing that, being connected with one another. And you find that as your heart is joined with God and joined with others, there's something very wonderful about our worship together, because we're building something. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's incredible worship, isn't it? That's a whole dimension of worship that is so powerful, that God wants us to touch and to walk in, that we can honor him and worship him. And it's that need to be connected together. Let's just stand. I want to pray for us this morning. We have a custom in our church that if you want prayer for yourself personally, we give an invitation for people to come out to the front and to be prayed for. And just after I pray, if you want some prayer personally this morning, the opportunity is for you to come and to stand and we can pray for you. Maybe you've come today and you said, the reality is, my heart before God, I know there's a God, but I've never really given my heart to Jesus Christ. I've never really accepted that. And I don't want to have a hard heart before God, because one day I know I will stand before my Maker. I want to have a soft heart. I want to have that new heart. I want to come out of darkness and I want to come into light. I hadn't received mercy, but I want to know the mercy of God. I want to know that through Jesus Christ today. It says that you are not a people. I didn't really belong, but I want to belong. I want to be one of the children of God today. If you want to find Jesus this day, then the opportunity is for you to come at the end. And we will pray that you might come and know him. Know him not as the God that's there somewhere, for the God who's deep and intimate and personal will pray with you. Maybe you've been in the church. Maybe you've been coming to church. But the reality is that you have not really connected into the life of the church. The only people you relate to are maybe family members, and you haven't actually connected yourself in. And you say, no, Lord, this day I want to come. I don't want to just come as a pile of stones, Lord. I want to come as a living stone that is connected in and is building something precious, that holy habitation, a place where God's presence is manifest as worship. And you want to touch God in a way that maybe you haven't touched God before. I want you to come this morning, that there'll be a joining of hearts, and that you will also then begin to come and connect yourself in. And also, I just want to pray for all of us that we just rise in our heart of worship. If you missed last week's message, then you need to listen to that. If you missed last week's message, excuse me, just go online Just go onto the website, listen to last week's message. You need to listen to that if you missed that last week. Because God is lifting us something very special in worship in terms of His presence, what God is doing in us and among us. God is doing something very special. And I don't want you to miss out on it. I want everyone to be connected in that together we become that spiritual house. So let's pray. Father, as we stand before You, Father, we just thank You, Lord, that this is an amazing thing that You're doing among us, Lord, that You're deepening us, Lord, that You're causing us to rise, Lord, in our corporate expression of worship. And Father, I pray first of all, Lord, that anyone, Lord, who doesn't know Jesus Christ today, Father, that this day they might come and have a new heart, Lord, a new hope, a new beginning, Lord. Lord, they may find the promise of eternal life, Lord. They may find freedom in Jesus Christ, that they may find forgiveness of sins, Lord, to wipe away all of the things we've done. Lord, to wipe away every shame, Lord, that we can hold our head up high in Your presence, Father. If there's anyone that's like that today, Father, I pray, Lord, that You touch them by Your Spirit. Lord, give them the courage, Lord, to take a step, Lord, not just for today, but for the rest of their life, Lord, and not just for the rest of their life, but for eternity this day, Father. Give them the courage this day. And Father, for anyone, Lord, that has been disconnected, Lord, they haven't really knitted themselves in, Father. And Lord, they have the heart and say, no, Lord, I want to be joined in, Father. Lord, I don't want to be an observer. Lord, I want to be one that is joined with my brothers and sisters, and together as we worship You, Lord, as we bring that spiritual sacrifice, that I touch the true and living God. Father, I want to pray for those people today. Lord, I pray for them. And Father, for all of us, Lord, I know, Lord, that You're lifting us up in our corporate expression of worship, Lord. Lord, there's a depth, Lord. There's a hunger, Lord, that we spoke about last week, a yearning, a longing that You're stirring. And Father, I pray that You stir that in our hearts. Father, that we'll have no one dispassionate, but Father, we'll all be passionate about You. Passionate, Lord, for Your word says that where two or three are, there You are. And Lord, we know that right now the living God is here by Your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, even now we sense Your presence, Lord. And so, Father, as people come this day, Father, as we pray with them, Lord, let them know the touch of the living God this day. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You want prayer this morning, just come and make your way forward this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and even what Elder Lewis said over communion, something's touched your heart, you come today and give your heart to Him and say, I need Jesus, I need that new life. You haven't really been connected in, then you come and allow the Lord just to connect you in. Connect you into a family that you have that will stand with you, brothers and sisters, that will stand with you this morning. So they're just going to quietly sing. We're just going to pray for these people this morning. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your chance today. Don't miss this chance. Don't miss this time to allow God to secure your eternal destiny this day. In Jesus' name, amen.